Hi everyone, welcome back to Queer Coco. I'm Billy Vaimoso and I'm your host. Yep, I know what you're thinking. I haven't uploaded in over a month and I think I'm well within my rights to blame it on COVID-19, so I'm just gonna do that. Today's episode, I do have one of my dearest friends, Dan Leo, on, and we do talk about his experience being a gay Samoan Māori man in South Auckland and just in general. I've known Dan for 10 years this year, and we met in 2010 through Eleganza, who you may have met in my previous episodes, and we used to dance for a runway dance crew, and it was way before they became one of the top dance crews in the world. So, as I've said previously, I was just there for numbers. I wasn't much of a dancer, but Dan was a great dancer. He actually taught me my first set when I started there, and I think it was a Kelly Rowland song, Smooches. And right after I record this, I'm gonna go listen to that song because I actually really loved it. Anyways, Dan's experience is quite unique in that he didn't feel the need to come out. He felt like his parents knew who he was, and so it was never a conversation. I remember when there was an episode that I've done that I really hated, and it's still up, and I didn't feel like there was much struggle in the story, and I just couldn't relate, and that's all good and stuff. But I think now, in listening to Dan's story, I think it's important that we do show the other side, that it's not always grim and that it's not always sad for everyone. And I admire Dan for the way he carries himself and just the way he's continued to be him. And yeah, and you'll find that out in our little chat. So without further ado, here's my chat with Dan. Hey Hoosiers, welcome back to a very long overdue episode. Today we're joined by one of my dearest friends, Dan. The Dan. And how are you today?
Really good. We're in lockdown at the moment, so everything's all good at the moment. It's Sunday, so a lot of church is happening, kōngai, everything. So, yeah, how are you going?
Oh, we're good over here. We're not on full lockdown, but I think everyone's conscience should be telling them to stay home. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Anyways, for everyone that's jumping on, I'm Dan. I'm one of Billy's mates from when we used to dance in Brisbane. He was the lead dancer, lead vocal. and that's how we met. I'm my dad's Samoan. He's from Whiskokai, and my mum's Māori Chinese, which is where I get my Asian genealogy from. Born and raised in South Auckland, then moved over with my parents to Brisbane, and then I kind of wanted to flee the pack, so I kind of moved over to Sydney by myself and kind of just made friends there. So then I've only just come back home to South Auckland, I think 3-4 years ago. I think it was good timing anyway. So that's my life at the moment, just working in retail. Loving it, just living life.
So I wanted to ask you, so I usually ask this of all my guests, and that is, when did you know you were different?
I've actually thought about this question a lot, but I guess there wasn't a stage of me to be like, oh, I'm different, only because it's just been me from the get-go. I didn't find it to be different. I was just like, oh, this is quite normal, until I probably reached high school and then realized, oh, it's probably not the normal.
Yeah.
What's so it? I found out for me personally, I have never changed who I was. I was always the same Dan, even though I did find that some people were quite well, quite different to me anyway. Mm. Even in my life now, I feel like I'm still the same than I was in high school. Like, still flamboyant as fuck, still like, don't give a shit about you. Yeah, 100%. I think everyone that knows or is listening on this podcast will tell you the same as well. Like, I probably, in terms of my demeanor and everything, it hasn't changed much. So,
yeah,
still look me. Yep.
And what made you realize you were different? Was it people telling you you were different, or was there some sort of bullying that happened?
I've never once been bullied in my life. But I guess in terms of like people telling me if things were different, I didn't really know either. Like, I don't think I've had anyone come up to me and be like, oh, what you're doing is not normal. Because I think I was just so in myself that I was just like, oh, I don't really care anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, no one's really come up to me, and I wouldn't, even if they did come up to me now, it wouldn't have bothered me so much because I would have just lived me anyway. But wow, I sound so cocky right now. I'm just like, but this is my life.
Like, everyone's different. Not everyone struggles. Yeah. The next thing I wanted to talk about was, can you talk a bit about your coming out to your family?
Coming out to my family. This one's, I think, a little bit weird for me because technically I haven't come out yet. But everyone's kind of been on the same page as me anyway.
Yeah.
So like my parents, they're actually quite, I think, for people in their generation, are quite open-minded. So I think dad always knew, mum always knew. Mm-hmm. And I always get snapped like having like naked pictures of boys in my school uniform pocket and it will drop out of everyone. So they've always known, but I've never actually had to come out, and I've always been supportive. Like, for example, my dad, he would be like, oh, so when are you going to bring your partner home? And he knows he's waiting for me to say guy, but I never do.
Yeah.
And even my mom, she's like, oh, when are you bringing your partner? I would love to meet them. So it's never been gender specific. So I think that's probably them trying to tell me to hurry up. But yeah, I've never felt the need to. Even everyone knows that I am. It's just I've never technically come out.
Yeah. And I think that's really common with our people. Like, what's the word? I sometimes put this thing on our people where I think we're really behind in times, but our parents are really open-minded, like mine as well. And that's really cool.
Yeah, and I think it's, sometimes I feel kind of bad at saying that because I know a lot of stories also where it hasn't been the most perfect coming out stories. And I guess for me, where I've had such a nourishing kind of upbringing that I could have come out, but I hadn't. So I guess it's each to their own as well. So every story is different. So for me, I just felt like because I had that upbringing, I didn't feel like the need to come out. And my parents kind of already, well, my parents know, my whole family knows. So I just felt like, oh, just leave it. If it comes out, then I'll tell them. But
Are they religious at all?
So my family is actually quite strict Catholics, but then it kind of stopped in my grandparents. My dad doesn't really go to church as much anymore, and so do I. So we only go for the odd, like if there was a christening or midnight mass, but that's about it. Otherwise,
Was it a big thing in your household when same-sex marriage was illegalized in New Zealand?
Not really.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really a conversation that actually popped up. And my family's quite political as well. And that wasn't even near the agenda of what they were talking about in terms of like who they were voting for or anything like that. So I never actually come across even... My dad was more worried about like petrol prices, to be honest, rather than my rather than marriage quality. So,
okay. So, just to switch gears a little bit, I wanted to talk about your dating life and does it exist? Is she alive? What's it like dating in South Auckland?
So I'm just gonna go. Just so everyone's out there, listening. I might just have no dating life for like 40 days, I reckon, just to see how it goes.
Just the bare minimum. We'll try that.
Just the real bare minimum. But at the moment, no. I'm not
dating. No risk trial.
No risk trial. 30 days. Speaking of 30 days.
Stop.
But yeah, no, my dating life is funny. I guess it's up and down. Yeah. I haven't been in a serious relationship for ages. Yeah. I don't know when the last one, serious relationship, but definitely talking to people. I mean, there's a lot of cool guys out here, but it's just finding that spark, I guess, which is the hardest thing. And especially living now where everyone's quite, I wouldn't say shallow, but there is some sort of expectation that's always hard to come by as well. So
yeah.
I guess for me, just finding that true spark, you know, I know it's out there, but just got to put myself more out there as well.
What's it like dating in South Auckland? Is it a different experience to when you were living in Melbourne or when you were even in Auckland City? Was it different? Is it different?
Yeah, it's heaps different. I guess the biggest thing that I found different was in Sydney, for example, if I was to be there, it was a whole different story, like in terms of like what I expected from guys, because they were all like into looking after themselves, so I know that they would always have a six pack and I'd be here like a Oompa Loompa.
Yeah.
So I knew that they
were
they were quite pretty looking, but just there wasn't as much substance as I would find in guys in South Auckland, where you could quite easily just conversate for like till midnight if you wanted to, and it was a different kind of conversation, I guess. But my expectation is I want best of both worlds, if I'm call that greedy or whatever, but just want someone that's
has everything.
I haven't found it yet, but I'll let you know.
Speaking of finding it, are you on the apps? Are you on Grindr? Do you frequent those spots?
So I was on Grindr, but I found like there was a lot of people that were on there that I knew, and because of where I work at the moment, I couldn't really have it there. But I'm definitely on Tinder and stuff. But yeah, all those apps I kind of had to delete. Just because of what I do as a job, it's just probably not right. So all my, I guess, all the people that I've been finding have been on Instagram.
Oh.
Or just hit me up on the DMs and stuff like that. Some of them are just like, I can't figure out if they're catfish or not, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that work?
So I'm going to put a slide just now.
No one's ever slid in my DMs, just FYI. So how does that work? Like, what do they say at first, usually?
No, it's quite standard at first, to be honest. Like, they would just, like, it would always be, like, click on your posts or pictures, and then I'll hit you up on your stories and stuff like that. And that's how it usually starts, and then they'll kind of be flirtatious at first, and then it'll be like, oh, what are you doing tonight, for example? And that's when the hookups usually would happen. I mean, that's how it works for me. I guess it's different for everybody, but...
Yeah.
And I mean, some of them, like, no names would be on the low as well. So you got to really be careful with, like, being discreet and stuff like that, even though they're kind of ambitious to message you in the first place on social media.
I wanted to ask your experience with down low guys, because I don't know if you listened to this episode, but I had this episode about straight guys and my experience with that. So what's yours been like?
It's been all good. I've been, like, anyone that knows me, even my close friends, know I'm really quite private with my dating life or any of that life. That should be kept aside for me anyway. So, especially when guys would hit me up in the discreet or D-low, I've never had a problem. Like, I've never wanted to share any of those experiences with people. So I think they trusted me. But the one thing that gets me, The one thing that gets me is like, what gets them to message me in the first place and feel confident
to be so bold
and trusting enough to be like, okay, I trust you. Because most of them will be like, after 4 or 5 messages, then they'll be like, oh, we should get dinner sometime or let's go catch a movie. And like, I'm not dumb. I can read between the lines as well. So usually when we catch a movie, it's always like they'll just pick me up and then drop me back off. Like, that's kind of how it works. But then I've had nothing. I know what the expectation is from him, and they kind of know from me. It's just it's literally do our thing, and then that's it. And then hit me up whenever you,
so
if you like.
Can you expand upon doing your thing? No, kidding, you don't have to.
Well, it really depends. 70 minutes, 70 positions. not really. I'm actually a starfish.
Same. No, so I'm going back to when you were talking about Sydney. You have lived in like really different places. So I know you've lived in Brisbane, Melbourne, Auckland, and Sydney. Can you talk about like more about the differences with the gay scene there?
Yeah, like obviously the gay scene here in Auckland's like much smaller, so everyone kind of knows everyone. So I find myself like dating is a little bit harder here just because of the connections. Like, I know gay guys connected to my cousins somehow and they're best friends, like, so that's why it's always a no-go for me. Whereas opposed to Sydney, I didn't really have much family in Sydney and Brisbane, so I felt like I could venture out just a little bit more there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, either or, to be honest, like, it's all kind of the same. They're all, everywhere's kind of clicky. You would have your circle. It's not until I reach a certain age that you kind of forget about the cliques and you just kind of cool with everyone, if that makes sense.
So is that about 25? You're 25 now?
I'm actually 25, guys. But I mean, in my younger days, I would... ooh, can I not do that? Edit that. I am in my younger days. yeah, especially a few years back, I would definitely like not want to go out with people that weren't in part of my circle, or, you know, I just was quite picky with who I went out with or who I spoke to. Whereas now I kind of appreciate more everyone's stories a little bit more, and it's... I guess I got a little bit more substance, I guess. And I had to grow into that. But yeah, being old makes you do things differently.
There's this thing that I always talk about in the show when it comes to the Fafa child or the gay kid when it, in Samoan families. I understand that you're looking after your grandma. Was that put on you because you are the queer kid, or was that just something because she raised you pretty much?
It was not really. I just kind of felt not obligated, but I just felt like I needed to be here. And I mean, I was in Sydney, so I was living my life. Like, I was partying every day. I was going out with friends, coffee whenever I wanted. And then the one thing that I kind of had a gap in my heart for my grandparents, and I've been brought up in a more humbling experience back home. And I think that one thing that I felt like I needed to come back to, so it wasn't necessarily like I needed to look after her. It was just more like she was a missing part, so I had to come back. Regardless of her being really old now, because she's in her 90s, so I look after her alongside with my auntie as well. So I've been brought up in Waikala, in the Fa Samoa way, where you're kind of like reading the Bible, you kind of know it off by heart. And then... I guess growing up, I think for Samoans as well, like we never put, it's highly unlikely that we would put someone in a home. Like, there's always some sort of member that stays with them. And I guess that's different coming from a lot of my friends who are kind of not Samoan, and they'll be like, okay, I'm going to visit my grandma. And I'm like, oh, where are you going? They're like, oh, I'm going to a nursing home. And just being inside a nursing home myself, because I've been to a few, it just didn't feel right. Like, the guys do a good job of looking after the old people there, but I'm just like, there's something missing. So that's why I'm with her at the moment, and we're just living life. Like, at the moment, she's watching Sabine Moore inside the lounge, probably. She doesn't understand English, let alone Filipino, so I don't know how she's doing on it.
That's so cool. Yeah, so when it... I've moved away, like, so many times as well, so I can relate to that. My parents aren't elderly, but there's always that calling back, like, they're always calling you back to come back. So this is probably my fourth time moving back home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm with them now. There are... Your story's really unique like mine, where our parents are really accepting, and didn't even feel the need to come out. But there's a question I wanted to ask you, and that was, what are some misconceptions out there about your identity that you can't stand?
Can you give me an example? I'm really...
Oh, so one thing that I hate is when someone finds out that you're gay, when someone finds out that you're gay, and it's a guy, they automatically think that you're attracted to them. Has that been your experience? Like, has there been things thrown at you like that?
No, I've never had anything
kind of like
that. I'm not sure why. Maybe because I miss that, or maybe they do it to me, but I just don't see that. Because I'm pretty confident in myself. I'm like, oh, I don't, like, I never did like you, so you're fine. Like, you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, like, the only thing that I probably have a problem with is probably people like, oh, you're gay, you must know all my gay friends. And then they'll go through a long list. And I'm like, okay, I absolutely do not know these people. Or maybe they have the earliest on Grindr, I'm not too sure. Like, so that's the only thing that I find for me. But no, there's never been a thing where straight guys are like, oh my god, you like me? There has been, though, however, Islander guys that would be like, oh, you know when they do the high five and they tickle you?
Yeah.
Right here? Like, they'll do a lot of this. And they're just trying to play with you, obviously. But you're like, okay, you play along. But it's never been in a negative way. Mm-hmm. Nothing's come from that he does. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. Just to go back to that, when you meet people and then they show you, like, their friends and... do they try to hook you up and you're just like, that's not your taste? Like, you're not into that?
All the time. I mean, like, and it's the hardest thing for me is trying to put them down nicely without them going back to them and saying, oh, you know, it's not even da 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 da. But I'm just like, oh, I'm not actually looking at the moment. I'm just working on me. everyone knows I'm using that line. Which I am, guys, I'm working on me. So it's a bit true. But yeah, that's can't just put myself out there. But it's just literally just me. And I'm not I'm actually okay with being single. I've never felt like I needed to be with a partner or I needed to be with someone.
Yeah, I think we're similar in that way too. I've never felt the urge to be in a relationship. Like, it's not on the top of my list. And I'm not mentioning that no one wants me, but I wanted to ask, so this is my, well, I think we'll wrap it up there, but I wanted to ask you, is there any advice that you have for anyone struggling with their identity that is also Samoan, Māori, and are wanting to come out or just don't know how to do that?
I'm really, really bad at giving advice, but I can only think of if I was in your shoes and you're struggling or you feel like you can't come out. I guess for me, I would take my time. I wouldn't feel like I need to rush coming out. I wouldn't feel like I'll need to do some things a certain way. Like, everyone's story is different, so you do you the best you can. I feel like you're still maintaining some sort of self-dignity, I guess, because I think if we start comparing each other's stories, like, it won't make sense either, you know what I mean? And trying to come out at a certain time when that doesn't exist, like, I still haven't come out technically, but I'm still okay with life and I'm still quite content, so if I had to give any advice, just do you. Whenever you're ready, just come out.
Awesome. And the final question is, what are you working on now? Tell us a bit about your business.
Oh, awesome. So there's a few things happening now. So I've got a few projects happening. So for everyone out there, I work for COS, which is like a fashion brand here in New Zealand, just opening it up in this country. It's been around in Australia for, like, I guess over 5 years. So that's my full-time job. I'm also doing Arbonne as well, which is like a health and lifestyle like wellness company, I guess, online. And currently working on a project today, a few months ago, addressing people without jobs who are looking to get into the workforce. So that's also a project that's been in the works for a while now. So I'm keeping myself busy, but I mean, I love every bit of it.
Thank you so much.
I'm excited because it's bomb. So thank you for having me on here. It's really cool.
Oh no, thank you for coming. I know you were a little bit nervous and then you made me nervous. I'm so grateful that you wanted to come on. I love you so much and thank you again.
Take care, be safe guys.
Hey guys, so I hope you enjoyed that chat with Dan. Please hit him up on his socials. I'll put them all over my Instagram, so please find him. I wanted to leave you guys with a couple of segments that aired on the show that I host on the radio called Pacific Wave. But before we do that, I just wanted to say if you have any feedback on the podcast, please send me a DM on any of my socials or send me an email on queercoco@gmail.com. I'm always open to constructive criticism or just anything that you want me to talk about. I'm open to that as well. And also if you want to be a guest on here, like I want to talk to everyone that I can, so please do that. But as I said before, here's a couple of pointers from Kamaya and I on COVID-19.
So while we're kind of sitting around waiting, working, some of us not working, while we're sitting around in this time of uncertainty, I figure why not make the most of it and start learning more about our cultures, about our languages, and just, you know, learn some new words. So in Māori, new words is kupu hou. How about we learn some of those today? So our first word of the day is toru teko, which means 30, the amount of minutes that ScoMo has given us if we would like to go and get our hair done still at the hairdresser while still maintaining social distancing and sanitizing our hands and not doing it a minute more than 30 minutes because obviously that means we'll contract the virus. Next up, kupu hou tuarua. Second new word, pepa wharepaku, which is toilet paper. The stuff that all Australians went crazy for as soon as coronavirus started being introduced, even though it's a respiratory virus, not an aspiratory virus as Tuwhenga calls it. And last but not least, kupu hou tuatoru. New word number 3 is haere atu. Haere atu, which means go away. And that's a phrase that I'm regularly using nowadays, now that I'm working from home and have my 5-year-old at home with me. Haere atu, Ayla Ray. Anyway.
So I know it's a really hard time for us at the moment with all this COVID-19 stuff happening and us going into self-isolation and working from home. So I put out onto my Instagram for my followers to give me some tips. I have been working from home for a little bit now, so before this happened, but I just wanted to see what everyone else is doing. Tip number 1 is to set your permanent workspace. So before COVID, I wasn't really taking it seriously. I actually just connected my laptop to my TV. And that's worked for a little bit, but now that it seems like we might be doing this for a long time, I've gone out and purchased 2 screens just to kind of mimic my actual workplace. I know that a lot of workplaces are actually providing their employees with screens. If that's you, congrats, because my job isn't like that. And yeah, so we've been left to fend for ourselves and kind of use our little tiny laptop. But as Pacifica, we are really resourceful. So as I said, you can use a TV screen or 2 and that will probably get you by. And I don't suggest breaking the bank and going to buy new ones. If you do have a bit of spare money, maybe invest in a couple of screens and you can actually get it from Marketplace like I did. And I got 2 for like $70 each. Like, people are really selling them now because everyone is working from home. The other thing with your workspace is try not to put it somewhere that you're highly likely to go to sleep, so maybe don't put it in your bedroom. And as I said that, I am actually sitting in my bedroom recording this. But yeah, if you don't have like really good self-control, I'm not saying that I do, try not to put it in your bedroom. If you do have a study in your house, like that's the perfect space for you. Or if you have a spare room, or just somewhere that's kind of away from any main living areas, or just where anyone that's at home, like places that they frequent, so high traffic areas. Tip number two was sent in by one of my followers, and that is to put headphones in when you're working. I do this when I'm at work, but because my team is pretty cool, I kind of don't really listen to music anymore. But when you're at home and you're like living with your parents and trying to work, I think a lot of the times they don't necessarily think you're actually working because you're at home and they're trying to tell you to do for hours or to do the washing. So yeah, putting on headphones is a really good idea to kind of block out the noise. Obviously, like one of the advantages of working from home is maybe putting on your washing like at lunchtime, doing a couple of dishes here and there. But we'll get to those things in the next tip, and that is to kind of plan your day out. So we all have a lunch break and we all have like our mini breaks that we take to go get coffee and stuff like that. So I think when you're at home, use that time to do your washing and do your dishes, fold your clothes, maybe shave your back. Essentially, working from home is like studying online. You have to really self-motivate and manage your time wisely. Tip number four is going back to self-control. And like I've seen a lot of people during this time with the self-isolation and things like that, they are really focusing on eating healthy, because I know for me, I eat a lot of really bad food, not just at work, but just in general. And I think as you would on a normal day at work, prepare your lunch, like do your meal preps, just do anything that you would normally do for work. And that includes like getting ready, changing your clothes. Like you don't have to wear your annoying work attire, but just getting changed like out of your pajamas, because I think you're more productive working out of those pajamas, because I have tried doing that and it doesn't really work for anyone that I know really. And just going back to the healthy eating, maybe don't put your workspace near the fridge, or just make sure what you have in the fridge is just like really good stuff. And I know it's really hard right now because a lot of the panic buying and you're just left with like all the bad food. But tip number five is something that Kamaya and I spoke about earlier this week, and how we're so blessed to be able to work from home, because a lot of people are actually losing their jobs because of the virus and it's affecting small business. So I think I've had to stop myself from complaining, because I've actually asked to be shut down completely. But I think it's important that we do think about each other, and to think outside of ourselves, because we are really lucky that we have the option to work from home. And yeah, we're not sitting here in the dark wondering if we're gonna get paid next week. But thank you so much for listening to that. Thank you to my Instagram followers for sending me in those tips. I did get some naughty ones, but I will save that for my Instagram story, so go check that out. So while I still have you, I did want to also let you guys know of some things that you can do while you are at home. And that's things apart from TikTok. The first thing is, if you've been wanting to start that YouTube channel, that podcast, or that SoundCloud account, I'd suggest doing it now. And the reason for that is you have nothing but time. Everyone else has nothing but time to watch your content or to listen to it. So I think just go for it now. And that's the beauty of having the internet. So And that's all we have really right now when you're at home, if you think about it. So utilize this time to hone in on whatever you've been wanting to do for a long time and just put it out there. You never know. The next thing is to maybe take some online classes. Again, we only have the internet and we don't really use it to its fullest potential, I don't think. So I think taking some classes, if that means maybe paying for some, I know there's a lot of free classes that you can take. YouTube is my biggest resource. I've learned everything that I know about podcasting, about graphic design, about videography from YouTube itself, and it's all free. And I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be content creator. You could just learn how to play the guitar, or you can learn how to sing. Kamaya's going to be doing that, hopefully. If you're like my brother and my sister who love the gym, maybe do some online classes. And I know, like, I don't know, but I've heard that there are some PTs and some gyms that actually put out online videos for you to do that Zumba workout or just doing any home workout. So check those out as well. I should take my own advice, but I won't. And my last tip is to maybe read that book that you've always wanted to read but had no time to, or like get the audiobook and just chill, like instead of listening to music. You could be reading a book and learning something new. So these suggestions all kind of tie into each other, and that is just to learn something new while you're in isolation, because I think what we all want after this is to come out stronger, and that doesn't necessarily mean physically stronger, but you can strengthen your mind, as corny as that sounds. We have the power to teach ourselves new things because we do have access to the internet, and it's the most powerful tool that we have.